Hi there, Billy Hindle here, the voice of Alice Dyer in the Magnus Protocol. As part of the Magnus Archive's 10th anniversary, Rusty Quill is hosting a special Magnus Live show at the upcoming Crossed Wires Podcast Festival in Sheffield. Join co-creators Jonathan Sims and Alexander J. Newell on the 5th of July for a new iteration of our live show, Statement Begins, where you can hear fan-favourite statements such as Anglerfish, Red Live, and gain exclusive insights into the creation and history of the show straight from the creators themselves. You can buy your tickets now, including limited numbers of meet and greet tickets, from crossedwires.live or the link in the description of this episode.
Na, noch keine Pläne fürs Wochenende? Besucht die Rotkäppchen-Erlebniswelt in Freiburg mit euren Mädels, der Oma oder dem Knallertypen von nebenan. Wir lieben alle Jahrgänge. Entdeckt unsere interaktive Ausstellung bei der Erlebnistour mit Audioguide und einem Glas Sekt und genießt im Pavillon die ganze Welt von Rotkäppchen. Die Rotkäppchen-Erlebniswelt, nur eine Sektlänge entfernt.
Rusty Quill presents The Magnus Archives. Episode 179, Accomplice.
Furnace curls the hair on Derek's arm. It burns in a way that is as familiar as it is stomach-churning. Like the end of a cigarette, or the flush of a childhood face as it tries to block out the noises, the shame of being told to stop lying by the policeman who plays poker with his dad. He tries not to touch the metal parts of his small workspace, as it is hot enough to raise blisters. But everything is metal here. His spade is metal. His hammer is metal. The tracks are metal that lead the rusted metal carts towards his furnace. This load is full of children's toys. Not the sad and mouldy wooden ones he threw at his sister as a boy, but bright, colourful plastic that he recognises from his own daughter's birthdays, Christmases, happier times. The sight fills him with dread. Where did they get these? What has happened to Tilly? He wants to run, disappear into the night, calling her name, but he remembers what happened the last time he left his post. What the overseer took from him. His shovel digs into the pile of happy memories, and he tosses it into the flames, one grueling motion after another. The burning plastic fumes hit him, and for a moment he staggers, reaching out a hand to steady himself. His palm sizzles as it comes to rest on the furnace, and he draws it back with a stifled yelp. He knows what happens in this place if you draw attention to yourself by screaming. His shovel goes back into the pile and meets an unexpected resistance. Something soft and almost spongy. He knows the texture well, and as he pulls the spade away, the bright blood on it confirms his fears. Another sharp sting of panic washes over him, electric pulses of fear causing his muscles to lock in place for a moment. Then he begins to load the furnace faster, frantically hurling away anything blocking the view of the body, desperately hoping to see. It's not her. It's someone else. Derek doesn't know the man who lies in the cart. lifeless eyes staring at him from a head split in two by a careless shovel blow. He pauses for a moment, then goes to his task, hacking up the corpse and loading it into the hungry flames. The smell hits him, sickening him as it always does, tinged with that cloying, greasy nostalgia. "I got you." That's what Colin had always said to him when they were kids. And he had always meant it. When Derek needed somewhere to stay when his dad was on the warpath, "I got you." When Derek needed a little something to take the edge off, "I got you." When the lifeless body of Derek's father lay at the bottom of the stairs, limbs folded around the cricket bat he had hit him with, "I got you." And Colin was right. He had. Words can't really express the gratitude Derek had felt as the body disappeared into the furnace at the junkyard where his friend Colin worked. No, friend wasn't a strong enough word. They were family in that moment. And they would always have each other's backs. When the police came hassling them, he had Colin's back. When some little dipshit didn't show the proper respect, he had Colin's back. When Colin needed someone by his side for a smash and grab, Derek had his back. And when one of them had to go down for 3 years, well, it seemed only fair. The rumble of wheels on old metal rails brings Derek back to himself as he sees the now empty, blood-stained cart rolling back and away from him, disappearing into the field of red-hot glowing metal. Another one would be coming soon, rolling inevitably towards him. What part of his life would he have to burn then? What thing he loved would he have to hurl into the flames? The apprehension is as familiar to him as the scent of burning hair. He knows what it means to wait and see what he has lost. The first time he got out, he had lost his job and his home. The second time he got out, he had lost his daughter. The third time, he had lost the ability to walk the streets without being hounded by some bored cop, turning out his pockets, desperate for him to throw a punch. But it changed nothing. He always had Colin's back. Something is coming. Derek can feel it. It's not the next cart, he knows that sound. It's quicker, more vicious. Panting, snarling, bloody feet speeding quietly over through the heat of the yard, a hatred, a deep, self-righteous loathing charging before him. It is the sharp end of the violence that has wanted him all his life, and Derek has less than a second to recognize her face before she begins to tear him apart. Another victim. Another hunt. The pain and terror courses through him. Derek is still aware as she toys with him, pulls bits from his torso and chews them with 100 sharpened teeth. He is aware, though not, perhaps, alive.
She's here, then.
Basira, I didn't hear you.
No. I figured you wouldn't when you were busy.
I thought you were keeping watch.
I was. Watched you sneak away.
Sorry.
You apologize too much.
Martin says the same thing.
Like he's any better. Why didn't you want me to hear this one?
What?
You weren't as cagey about the other ones, meaning you wanted to keep this one secret. Because this one was Daisy's victim.
Yes.
Didn't think you knew what the statement was going to be before it happened.
I just had a sense of it.
So, what? You thought I'd hear he was a murderer and I'd agree with her? Maybe I'd figure she was doing the apocalypse a favor by taking him out.
I don't know what I thought.
Sure.
I don't know, all right? I was worried that if you listened, it might feel like an accusation. After everything we've already talked about, I mean, what good would it do for you to hear? What's in this one that you don't already know? people have their reasons for doing wrong. The system hurts everyone. It just seemed kind of pointless.
Yeah, I guess.
Honestly, I just wanted to avoid this conversation.
Should have been sneakier then.
Yeah. Never been my strong suit, has it?
How many times have you been kidnapped at this point?
It depends if you...
Say it.
Depends if you count Daisy. So, you did hear it then?
Yeah.
What did you think? Did it help?
With what?
I don't know.
Me neither.
Hey, she's here.
What
now?
Yeah, she just tore into a guy.
Yes, we understand, Martin.
You didn't think this was worth mentioning?
I didn't notice. I was talking to you.
Fine, whatever. Let's go.
Sneak round to the other side of the furnaces. But then the smoke wouldn't cover us.
Shut up. I just need to focus.
All right.
Oh.
Take your time.
I will do as soon as you shut up.
I'm sorry.
What happened?
I thought you were about to fire.
So you gasped just in case.
Look, it's a tense situation, right? I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm not a sniper.
God damn it.
Basira, are you sure you're up to this? It doesn't need to be right now. We can always back off, regroup, wait for a better situation, one where she isn't elbow deep in some poor sod's corpse.
Don't do that.
Sorry.
What am I missing here?
He knows as well as I do that the only reason we're even able to get this close is because she's busy with a kill. There isn't going to be a better opportunity.
Now or never, then?
Yeah. I made her a promise.
You need to be certain.
I am. Would you stop staring at me like that?
Like what?
Like you've looked inside my head and you don't like what you see.
If that's an accusation, then you're wrong. I don't do that.
Right. Like you're suddenly given infinite power and no consequences. And that's when you decide to start respecting people's privacy.
Is that really so hard to believe?
Yeah, John, it is.
Guys.
If you have something you want to say, good boy, just say it.
Look. I know it's hard, and you have your reasons,
guys.
But it is not my fault that you can't bring yourself...
Shut up! Both of you!
What?
She's gone.
Wait, what? Oh. Oh, no.
Get down! Daisy!
Out of the way!
Let it go!
Get out of the way!
Take the shot!
No, you'll hit John!
Take the shot, Basira! Basira, do it!
Don't!
You can't! Daisy, stop. Please.
Basira.
Oh, God. Daisy.
Daisy, please let me go. Or not. Or not.
Basira.
I know.
But John...
I know. Just give me a second.
Basira.
She knows who I am. She recognizes me.
Basira!
Daisy, come back to us. You can come back. Please.
Basira. Come. Come on.
What?
Come. Got to get them.
I... Sure, just let him go.
Oh, John, oh, shit. Okay, I've got you. Sorry. You need to keep pressure on that leg while I sort this. Okay.
Daisy, please. John, can you do anything?
Basir.
I'm sorry, I told you. She's too deep. I can't do anything, not without killing her.
Daisy, it's me. Come on, please.
Partner. Come.
Oh. I see.
What?
She wants me to join her. In the hunts.
What? Is that even possible?
Yes. I can feel it in the blood.
Basira.
I can't leave her like this. She's always had my back. Always.
Basira, don't. Please.
Partner. Come.
Not now. Not after everything.
Basira. No!
I can't.
Basir.
Basira, I...
Shut up.
I'm sorry, I know...
Shut up.
No, Basira, wait. John's leg, Basira...
Let her go. Is it awful that I wish she'd recognized me?
Daisy?
Yeah, I mean... She was... We were friends there, sort of, near the end. We went through so much, and it just... I wish I could have actually said goodbye.
Would it have made you feel any better about any of it?
I don't know. Maybe. It's hard to know how I feel about anything these days.
We said our goodbyes to Daisy after the Institute. This was just dealing with all the stuff she left behind.
I suppose.
Come on. I need to patch that leg up properly. The last thing we need is a limp slowing us down. Of course, that's assuming the bandages haven't transformed into snakes or something.
No, they're fine.
I'd forgotten we had them, to be honest. I packed them before I realised what a celebrity you were out here. I was starting to think I'd never need them. I'm surprised she could hurt you at all.
Yes, that came as a bit of a shock to me as well, actually.
You didn't know?
I didn't think to check, just sort of assumed it was safe.
That's a pretty big assumption, John.
Apparently. I mean, I know it sounds strange, but it felt right for Daisy to be able to hurt me.
Dream logic again?
The resonances from our relationship before the change carried over and...
Hold still. How are you doing?
How do you think?
Sure.
I'm going to stay here. Burn the body.
Of course, we can wait. I still need to...
No, you go on. I'll make my own way to London.
What? No, don't be daft. It's not a problem for us to wait while you deal with
it. Please. Just go.
Wait. Seriously?
Basira, if you travel on your own, if you're not with us, I can't guarantee your safety.
Good.
Basira, getting yourself hurt isn't going to help anyone.
It's just something I have to do. You said follow the tower, right?
Right.
No, this is ridiculous. You could die.
I'll do my best not to.
This isn't a joke,
Martin,
Basira.
This is what she needs.
No, it's...
It'll help me. All going well, I'll meet you both in London. He'll know where to find me.
So you won't mind if I check up on you sometimes?
If you must. But don't overdo it. I don't like being watched.
Understood. Come on then, Martin.
What? So that's it? We just head off and hope you make it?
Yeah.
Why don't we rest on it, hmm? I know we all need a moment, and John can barely
stand. Honestly, I'm starting to feel better already. Just need to stretch it out a bit.
We're not doing this.
Martin, please.
You'd better look after yourself.
I will.
Come on. For what it's worth, I'm sorry it had to work out like this.
I'm not.
The Magnus Archives is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 International License. Today's episode was written by Jonathan Sims, produced by Lorianne Davis, and directed by Alexander J. Newell. It featured Jonathan Sims as the Archivist, Alexander J. Newell as Martin Blackwood, Frank Voss as Basira Hussein, and Faye Roberts as Alice Daisy Tonner. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at @TheRustyQuill, visit us on Facebook or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord via the website or on Reddit @r/TheMagnusArchives. Thanks for listening.
Hi everyone. Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Nick Vega, Tyler Zuba, Pendragon, Becky Gregory, Rachel Merisman, Melissa, Connor Ferry, Wednesday, Briar and Brian, Oya, Omnia, Wonderwall Meme, Sasha Radula S, Cynthia J, Izzy, William Hess, Megan Lim, Maggie Hoffman, Ms. French Name, Floating Space Trash, Andy Grimaldi, Erina, Michael Prideau, Naomi Taylor, Sin, Piper, Gabe, Nicole H, Jadefire, Joyful Joyous Joy, Amelie Christine, Sindri Mjolnir, Nathan Benson, The Crit Show, Noah Ayers, Melanie Dolby, Ruby Dian, Haley, Hannah Meller, Skella Chicken, Margaret, Emily Savage, Jesneywork, Gisela Navarro, Leah D, and Steve K. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Na, noch keine Pläne fürs Wochenende? Besucht die Rotkäppchen-Erlebniswelt in Freiburg mit euren Mädels, der Oma oder dem Knallertypen von nebenan. Wir lieben alle Jahrgänge. Entdeckt unsere interaktive Ausstellung bei der Erlebnistour mit Audioguide und einem Glas Sekt und genießt im Pavillon die ganze Welt von Rotkäppchen. Die Rotkäppchen-Erlebniswelt, nur eine Sektlänge entfernt.
Billy Hindle here, the voice of Alice in the Magnus Protocol, and I'm here to tell you about From the Library of Jürgen Leitner, an upcoming novel available for pre-order right now at rustyquill.com/novel. Return to the world of the Magnus Archives in From the Library of Jürgen Leitner, an official prequel novel written by Nebula, World Fantasy and Aurora Award-winning author Primi Mohammed, with the help of the Magnus Archives' own writer and lead voice, Jonathan Sims. From the Library library of Jürgen Leitner explores an infamous organization from the Magnusverse for the first time, the perilous private library of the enigmatic collector Jürgen Leitner, where occult books are guarded and researched at a fatal cost. Leitner's library keeps the dangers of these books in check and the would-be readers safe, or so Leitner claims. For two of Leitner's employees, the risks are worth it. For Hugh Franklin, the library is a place to belong. For Sebastian Everett, the library is an opportunity to indulge arcane ambitions. Though their 10 years at the library were years apart, Hugh and Sebastian's stories unfold in parallel, and their footsteps echo down the same eerie aisles, caught in a web spun long before either ever heard the name Jürgen Leitner. Will they find a way out, or will the library consume them before it's too late? From the Library of Jürgen Leitner will be published on October the 27th, 2020. And is available for pre-order now. Visit rustyquill.com/novel for more information. That's rustyquill.com/NOVEL.